Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Westminster. We're so glad that you're able to join us this morning to be here for worship. We do just have a couple announcements before we start worship. First is, if you would like to follow along, you can follow along on the bulletin online at westminsterpca.net. You guys can use your phone, your tablet, if you would like to, but we will also have the slideshow here in the back, just kind of leading us through the service today. Additionally, the Sumter Pregnancy Center is doing the annual baby bottle boomerang, which is their big fundraiser. They can't do the traditional dinner, so they're asking people to participate virtually. And you can do that by going out to the website here and donating online, or you can give by writing a check and mailing that to the Sumter Pregnancy Center. And then finally, the Sumter Restore is going to be taking place this week. So I know a lot of you are already signed up for that. Mr. David Pritchard and Nathan Thomas, Steve Nelson, Mike Apol, I'm forgetting someone else. They're going to be leading the efforts this week. But for those of you that are going to be participating, if you can be at the Fellowship Hall this evening at 6:30, and make sure that you have your release form and make sure you have your temperature check forms, because you're going to have those completed in order to participate this week. As a congregation, y'all can be praying for this project. Our team is going to be working on two different homes this week, two different roofs this week. So please be praying for them. And now, if y'all could just take a moment and prepare your hearts for worship.
Good morning, everyone. If you don't know me, my name is Stuart Mazzell, and I'm a pastor here, and I've been on a very brief sabbatical for the last few weeks. If you don't know, the elders of this church had given me a sabbatical back in April, but COVID, right? And then I had to take some time to just figure out how we're going to manage church things during all of this craziness. And we talked over the summer about how we could maybe do a little mini sabbatical, which is what I did. And hopefully next year I'll get more of the full course meal of the sabbatical. But that's where I've been for the last few weeks, and just wanted to thank the elders and thank you, the church, for allowing me to have that time. It's always good to take some time off, to clear your head, to get a better perspective, because so often we can just have our head down and we're just going, and we don't really get to see the big picture. And it's always helpful to just take that time off and to be able to get a better understanding of who we are and what the world is like and that sort of thing. And we'll actually talk a little bit about that even today. I want to draw your attention to our call to worship, which comes from Psalm 115, verse 1. Here's what this verse says. It says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness." I don't think it is hyperbole to say that most of the time, in some fashion or form, we are seeking for our own glory. Maybe we wouldn't call it that, but we are trying to build a life that honors us. And this psalm says the exact opposite. "No, Lord, not me, but you." And that is the cry of those of us who have been called by Christ into the kingdom, to say, "No, not about me, it's about you, Jesus. It's not about me, it's about your glory." And so let's join our voices together as we sing the song, "Not Unto Us." If you're able, please stand and let's sing together. and our God, we do pray that you would receive glory today and always, that we would take the focus off of ourselves and place it on you. For you are worthy of worship. You're worthy of praise. You're worthy of all that we can give you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we not only worship God by singing, but we also worship God by confessing our faith. And today, we have a confession of faith that comes straight from the scriptures, from Romans chapter 3. Now, in this passage, there are some concepts that, given our culture, we may not be that aware of. For example, this talks about Jesus being a propitiation for our sins. Now, not many of us go around and saying, hey, I'm going to propitiate this or propitiate that. That's just not our lingo. But here in the scripture, it means something very important, that God's wrath against sin is justified. It is just. It is right. And what Jesus does is he takes the wrath of sin, the judgment of sin, the penalty and curse of sin upon himself at the cross, so that it no longer affects us. That's what propitiation is all about. And this passage not only tells us that Jesus did that, but it was God the Father's initiative to set forth Jesus as that propitiation out of love for us. So let's read this passage together as a confession of our faith that Jesus really has become our propitiation, taking away the wrath and judgment from us by dying on the cross and rising from the dead. Let's read this together. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. If you have faith in Jesus, this passage is about you. And so let's sing the song that we have next, which is When I See the Blood, and be reminded that Jesus' blood shed for us makes God's wrath pass over us. Let's stand if you're able.
Christ our Redeemer died on died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I'll pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, all us can save. All he has promised, surely he'll do. shelter under his blood, and I'll pass away. When I see the blood of my holy one, my wrath shall be quenched, my judgments be through. When I see the blood of my only son, yes, I will pass over you. When I see the blood of my holy one, my wrath shall be quenched, my judgments be through. When I see the blood of my only son, yes, I will pass over you.
Amen. You may be seated.
My privilege to pray for us this morning. Let's take a few moments and bow before the Lord. Father, you do have great compassion and boundless love. And when we really start to peel back the layers of how deep that love really goes, it is overwhelming. That even while we were sinners, even while we were rebels, even while we were enemies, shaking our fists in your face, going our own way, doing our own thing, ignoring what you have to say to us, and even at times rebelling very, very adamantly against what you've actually told us. Yet, in your love, you have given us everything in Christ. And not only that, but you connected us to yourself by the Holy Spirit residing in us, showing us truth, leading us into what is true and right and good, reshaping our hearts, our souls, our minds, our very selves to be more in the image of Jesus. You've adopted us as your children. You've given us so much in Christ. And even a promise that the evils and the difficulties and the pains and the heartaches of this life are not the end of the story. But we have a destiny where you will not only make us like Jesus, but we will be in a perfect paradise of a new heaven and a new earth, where there will be righteousness, joy, and peace, where love and what is just and right and good will be the air we breathe. And we will worship you forever. And what a beautiful thing that is. And we're thankful that all of that comes simply because you have given us Jesus, not because we have worked hard, not because we've been smarter than other people, not because we belong to a certain group or another, but simply because of your love for us in Christ, and we receiving that by believing. Wow. It is almost too much to believe. In fact, I think it is too much to believe unless you make us in our hearts believe, by changing us from the inside out. And I'm so thankful. We are so thankful for what you've given us in Christ. And because we are thankful, we want to live in a way that shows our gratitude. We want to be a church that exhibits the fruit of the Spirit. We want to show love and peace and joy. We want patience and kindness, goodness. We want faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control to be how we as a church are described and each individual member of it. We want to grow in our love for our community. We want to reach out to our community like we're doing this week with the SAM project. Thank you for the people who are investing time this week to help build roofs for people who need it and fix roofs for those who have roofs that are not up to par. Thank you for that desire, and I pray that this week would be a good week of ministry, both in word and deed. Lord, we thank you for the Sumter Pregnancy Center and for the work that they do, for the saving of lives that they invest in. And thank you for this baby bottle boomerang fundraiser. Well, Lord, I know that this is a strange time, and it is hard to do fundraising in times like this. Will you make this year even better than any year in the past? That this year they would see an outpouring of support and love through financial means, and they would have more than they really need to be able to get after the ministry that they are doing here in Sumter. Lord, we also want to pray for a sister church of ours, for New Covenant Manning, and John Bean is the pastor. Thank you for my friendship with John. Thank you for this, how he himself is struggling with some of the same things and how to lead a church during a pandemic. It is just so confusing at times. Give him wisdom. Give their elders wisdom. Give them guidance by your Spirit so that what they do will not just be going through the motions, but that they will be engaging each other and engaging the community in wise and good ways. We pray the same for First Baptist with Dan Barber. Thank you for him and the work that they are doing over at First Baptist. Continue to grow them in your ways. And we thank you for the Rockwells in Peru, for the work that they are doing there. Continue to produce fruit in their lives and in their ministry. And Lord, I know that there are many concerns on our hearts right now, more than we can even name in just a short period of time like this. And so I ask that you would hear our hearts cry now for those who are sick, for those who are struggling against COVID or some other disease or problem, for those who are going through relational struggles with spouses and kids, parents, for those who are struggling financially because of the economic impact of this pandemic, for those who are feeling the strain of not being able to get out and about the way that they would normally do and are feeling lonely and frustrated, for those who are struggling with anxiety and depression and other kinds of mental illnesses that are only exacerbated by this kind of situation that we're going through, for those who are planning on moving, and those who are suffering inwardly because of something that has happened in their lives recently, Lord, we ask that you would meet each person's needs. Meet them right where they are and give them exactly what they need by your Spirit and through the church where that is possible. And Lord, we also pray for our neighbors, our friends, our school workers, our those who are around us that do not know you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, that you would use us to speak truth to them, to speak the truth in love in wise ways, letting our conversations be seasoned with salt so that we would truly be able to speak the gospel and demonstrate the good news of Christ in the way we live, in what we say, and even in how we think. We pray that you would bring these people that we are thinking about to faith and use us for that purpose. And Lord, again, there are many other things that are going on. We pray for our nation. We pray for the leaders of the nations of the world, that you would give them wisdom to know how to navigate this pandemic. We pray for our own state and for our own town, that you'd give our leaders wisdom, that they would guide us in good ways. And as we talk about wisdom today, would you give all of us wisdom from Jesus to know how to live a life that really is honorable, that really is good and just, full of kindness and gentleness and mercy. Help us, Lord Jesus, because we can't do this on our own. Holy Spirit, we need you to fill us to be able to live this way. So please fill us. And we ask this in the name of Jesus and for your glory, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are continuing our series on the church in the time of COVID-19. Now, I wish that COVID-19 would just go away. And I know all of you, yeah, I hear an amen there. Yeah, I know all of us do. I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet, but that's just, it just seems to, every time we think there's a little lull, it seems to pop back up. So maybe we're in this for the long haul. And if we really are in it for the long haul, this is a good time for us to examine our lives and to ask, okay, well, how do we need to live? Because things are a little bit out of control. Things are a little bit uncertain. And when things are uncertain, what really is inside us starts to come out. You know, as Peggy McCright used to say, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. So what's down in our well? Well, we've been asking questions about, okay, when times are certain, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to show love. We're supposed to live by faith. We're to uphold the truth. And we're to do a lot of numerous things. But today we're going to talk about the certainty of walking wisely. That when things are uncertain, we are to walk wisely. So let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. Paul the Apostle, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this: "Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Let me pray for us. Once again, Holy Spirit, give us wisdom. You call us to walk wisely. Give us what we need in order to walk wisely, to live wisely. And Jesus, show us that you are our wisdom. And Father, we are your children, and we're asking for wisdom, and as a good God who knows how to give good gifts to your children, even when we're not so good, would you grant us real wisdom from you? And we pray this, Jesus, in your name and for your glory, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, our one true God. Amen. So, did you know that every September, over 1,000 people gather at Harvard University at their Sanders Theater for a ceremony that is promoted by the Annals of Improbable Research? Think about that title, the Annals of Improbable Research. If you haven't heard of this, it's called the Ig Nobel Awards. It's a parody of the Nobel Prize Awards, and it's based on dubious achievements that are research-based but are ridiculous. For example, and remember, these are all funded research projects. In 1996, one of the award winners was in physics. Robert Matthews of Ashton University, England, for studying Murphy's Law, particularly showing that toast really does fall on the buttered side when it falls. In 2014, in medicine, the award was given to a team of four scientists for researching how to treat nosebleeds, which sounds good until you realize that they were treating nosebleeds by packing the nasal lining with strips of cured pork. I have no idea where they came up with that idea. I wonder if it worked. But my favorite of all, and I'm probably going to get in trouble just for mentioning this one, but 2001 in biology, Buck Weimer of Pueblo, Colorado, invented UnderEase, a brand of underwear with a built-in replaceable charcoal filter that deodorizes flatulence before it is released into the atmosphere. And he won an award for this. And remember, all of this research was funded by someone. To us, these research projects seem foolish. Aren't there better things to research than this? And we probably wouldn't want our names attached to any of those things. But if we're honest with ourselves, every one of us is given to a little foolishness here and there. Maybe even more often than here and there. Every one of us has some foolishness that is in us. But God calls us to a different way of life. And that's what we see in this passage. That even in uncertain times, we can be certain of our calling to walk wisely. Even in uncertain times, like the times we're living in right now, with this pandemic going on, and hey, we're all wearing masks, we're all social distancing, we're all doing these things, and we're like, when is this going to end? And it's uncertain. Yeah, even in times like this, we can be certain of at least this, that we are to walk wisely. Take a look at what this passage says in Ephesians 5. Look carefully then how you walk. And the walking there isn't necessarily how you walk like this, but how you live. Look carefully at your life and live in such a way that is not unwise, but is wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish. Don't invest in research projects about flatulence or pork up your nose. But do what the will of the Lord is. Understand it and do it. That's what we're going to be talking about today. But before we go any further, we need to recognize something about wisdom. Wisdom is not necessarily achieved because you get older. Now, you would think that that's the case, but there are some older people that we all know that aren't very wise. And we know some younger people who are wise beyond their years, right? So age doesn't necessarily mean wisdom. Wisdom doesn't come from being smart. We all know smart people who, when they wake up in the morning, they can't find their keys, they can't find their clothes, they can't find their phone, they can't find anything because, for whatever reason, but they're smart people, right? So smarts and wisdom, they don't necessarily go together. Where we get wisdom is from God. Like, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so if we're going to start talking about wisdom, we have to remember that wisdom comes from God Himself, first and foremost. And even more so, wisdom comes to us through Jesus. You see, we are called to walk in wisdom as Christians, as followers of Christ. We are called to walk in wisdom because of Christ and who we are in Him, right? Wisdom isn't just something that helps us in this life, and it does, but it's not just that. We're called to walk in wisdom because of who Jesus is and because of who we are in him. Listen to what Paul writes in Colossians 2 when he says that in Jesus, that Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay, where are the treasures of wisdom and knowledge found? In Jesus. So if you want to be wise, if you want to be knowledgeable, where is the first place you go? It's not the dictionary or the encyclopedia or Google. It's Jesus. And listen to what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, where he says, because of him, because of God, you are in Christ Jesus. Now that's a phrase that's used a lot in Scripture, in Christ Jesus. What does it mean? It means that we are united to him such that we are his bride and he is our husband. And what God has joined together, let no one separate, right? He is our head and we are his body. That's how closely united we are. We have that kind of relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over all the universe, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We are in him, and he is to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. See, we don't boast in our wisdom. I don't boast in my wisdom. We boast in Jesus. We don't boast in our righteousness. We boast in Jesus. We don't boast in anything that we have because it's all been given to us by Christ. Everything, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. Everyone. And if you have something good in your life, something that's praiseworthy, something that's beautiful, something that's wonderful, it came from God. And even more so, it came through Jesus. And so the one who died for us and rose from the dead for us is not only the one who forgives us of our sins, he is our wisdom. So if you and I want to grow in wisdom, the very first thing we need to do is look to Jesus. Now, I know that sounds like a Sunday school answer, but it's the biblical answer. It's the true answer. If we are seeking wisdom by going around Jesus to find something out there, somewhere that will give us real wisdom, we are missing what real wisdom is. So the first thing that I'm going to ask you to do, believers in the Lord Jesus, you want to grow in wisdom? Start with Jesus. Go to Jesus. Jesus, you are my wisdom. Grow me in your wisdom. Give me the true mind of Christ. That's what I want in order to live wisely. That's the first application point for you today. All right, so what does it mean to walk wisely? Because this passage tells us to look carefully then how we walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What does it mean to walk wisely? Well, among other things, and we're going to go through this point by point, among other things, walking in wisdom means at least the following. Number one, careful consideration of ourselves. Careful consideration of ourselves. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk. And again, he's not saying look at your feet while you're walking. He's saying look at your life and carefully consider what you're doing, what you're saying, how you're thinking. As we're thinking about thinking, have you heard of the word, the phrase, cognitive bias? Heard of that? Cognitive bias. Basically, what it means is there are certain errors in the way we interpret the world around us, the way we interpret ourselves and the world around us. There are many cognitive biases, and one of them is one that you should recognize from Scripture. Although it's not said this way, one cognitive bias that doctors and psychologists use is excessive self-regard. Excessive self-regard. And that's exactly what it sounds like. It's the tendency to think that we're better than we really are. It's the tendency to think that we're smarter than we really are. It's the tendency to think that we are wiser than we really are. So one of the things we have to recognize, if we're going to grow in wisdom, the first thing after recognizing that wisdom comes from Jesus is recognizing, I am not wise. I am not wise. Some of you know that at one point in my life I wanted to be a philosophy professor. And every once in a while that desire still pops up in my mind. Because there's something about philosophy that I really love. And I know most people are like, ugh, as soon as you start talking about philosophy. Ain't that right, Nathan? Thank you, Nathan, my fellow philosopher. But there's a story of a guy named Socrates, and I'm sure most of you have heard of the guy Socrates. He was a Greek philosopher. And at one point, there's this story about the Oracle of Delphi, which supposedly gave out information about what was happening and who was what and that sort of thing. Well, this Oracle of Delphi said that Socrates was the wisest man in Athens. Socrates heard this and he said, "That's a bunch of bunk. I'm not the wisest man. There's no way that's true." And so he went out to disprove what the Oracle of Delphi had said by interviewing other people. And then he came to believe, I am the wisest person in Athens. You know why? Because he seemed to be the only person who recognized that he was not wise. Because everyone else he talked to seemed to understand everything. They thought they had it all figured out. And he felt like he was the only one who really didn't understand the way things were. And he was ready to admit that. And so he came to the conclusion that maybe that's what the oracle meant. Now, of course, as Christians, we look at this and go, okay, that's just a story. But there is this truth that underlies it. The truth that real wisdom starts by recognizing only God is wise and I am not. What if we all took a look at ourselves carefully and asked ourselves some hard questions? What if we took some time, whether it's every day or every week or every month or whatever, just to sit back for a few minutes and reflect on our lives and say, what am I doing that is unwise? Where is foolishness displayed in my speech, in my thinking, in my actions? If you go on the internet and you start looking at stories about people who did not take COVID-19 seriously, you start to find all these news stories about people who had COVID parties. You know what a COVID party is? It's basically, hey, let's get a bunch of people together to see if we get COVID from it. And most of the people who go to these COVID parties don't believe that COVID is a big deal. Well, for example, there's this
I don't know if it was a man or woman because they don't refer to gender, but in San Antonio, Texas, according to WOAIKABB News, a patient in their 30s, now this is a younger person, right? A patient in their 30s died from the coronavirus after attending what's being called a COVID party. And the chief medical officer of Methodist Healthcare, where this person was taken care of, Dr. Jane Appleby, said that just before the patient died, the person looked at their nurse and said, "I think I made a mistake. I thought this was a hoax." And that person died. I'm not saying this to try to spread fear or anxiety. But what I am saying is that there are often times in our mind, and this is a great example of it, where we think we know better, we think we understand what's really going on, and then we find out that we were wrong. Wouldn't it have been better for that 30-year-old if he or she had realized before being in the hospital that going to a COVID party wasn't the wisest thing? And in the same way, for us, wouldn't it be wiser for us if we were to ask, is this wise? Is this living wisely? Or is there foolishness in what I'm doing? Let me talk to people who are wise. Let me talk to people who I trust. Let me talk to other people who may be able to tell me how I'm thinking, how I'm speaking, how I'm behaving in a way that is not wise. Jesus calls us to be wise, and part of being wise means recognizing that we're not wise, and we need to grow in wisdom. And in order to do that, we need to carefully look at ourselves, examine ourselves, and ask some hard questions. Let me ask you, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take a hard look at your thinking, at what you say, at what you do, and say, is this wise? Jesus calls us to this. And not only that, the second thing, we are to look at ourselves carefully and examine ourselves, but also second, we are to make the best use of the time God has given to us. That's how we walk wisely, making the best use of the time God has given us. Verse 15 and 16, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. Now, this one strikes me, because I often say, in fact, this is one of the things that Dawn and I talk about. She values money more than time, and I value time more than money. You know, that leads to some interesting conversations. But I often talk about how I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. But let's think about that for a minute. Who is it that created time? Who is it that gave us time? God, our Father, right? And if God, our Father, has given us the same amount of time, every single one of us, then we have enough time to do what it is that He calls us to do. Have you ever thought about it that way? Every one of us has, the way we measured, at least 24 hours in a day, 1,440 minutes, 86,400 seconds, every one of us. And God has given that to us as a gift and as a resource. And time management isn't about squeezing a lot of stuff into our lives, at least it shouldn't be. Time management is making the best use of the time God has given us. What is most valuable? What is most important? What is it that God wants me to focus on and not what I want to focus on?
many of us as men, we think that working long hours makes us better people. And I have finally started to come around to the fact that working long hours doesn't mean you're wise. Working smarter might mean that you're wise. Focusing on the most important things makes you wise. Don and I listened to a podcast yesterday about, it was about various things, but one of the things they did was they interviewed people whose children were no longer in the home, and they asked them, what's one thing you wish that you had done while your children were in the home with you? And almost every single one of them said, I wish I had spent more time with my children. I wish I hadn't have said no when they said, hey, would you like to do this with me? That hurts. Because as some of you know, I mean, we're right in the middle of three children at home. And there's so often times we think, well, I've got to do this. I've got to do these things. This is more important. Well, is it? So as we're examining ourselves carefully, let's examine how we use our time and ask ourselves, okay, so I'm to look carefully how I ought to walk. I'm to make the best use of the time. What is the best use of the time the way God says this is the best use of the time? All right, moving on, we get to a third one. So we've looked at carefully looking at ourselves. We've looked at using our time wisely. And part of looking using our time wisely comes from the fact that we understand the times in which we live. In order to walk wisely, we need to understand the times in which we live. Again, this passage says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. We make the best use of the time in part because the days are evil. How many of us wake up in the morning and the first thing or even the second thing or even the hundredth thing we think is, today is an evil day? We don't think that way, do we? We live in a fallen world. Life is not right many times. Life is not fair many times. Life is not just many times. Life has plenty of pain and suffering and heartache because this is not glory. This is not our destiny of where Jesus is taking us. This isn't it. And so every day when we wake up, we need to recognize that life is more like, life in a fallen world is more like a war than it is a walk on the beach. And many times we want life to be a walk at the beach, that everything goes our way. But if you ask a person who is in the military, what is it like in times of peace, and what is it like in times of war? There is a very different strategy of how you approach life when you're at war. The scriptures tell us that there is a spiritual battle that is going on every day, whether we know it or not. And so living wisely means recognizing that the days are evil, that we are at war, and we are to use our time wisely, recognizing that every day when I wake up, there are spiritual forces, there are people, there are other things that are going to try to squeeze us into an evil mold, and we have to resist. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Spirit. So what would it be like if every day we woke up, and I'm not saying it's got to be the first thought, but at least somewhere is you say, okay, I'm at war, and I need to put on the full armor of God and go out in the name of Jesus and live in a manner worthy of what he's called me to do. I really would shape the way we live in different ways. And finally, we've said we look carefully at how we live. We've said that we make the best use of the time. We said that we need to recognize that the days are evil. Finally, one of the ways that we live a wise life is by understanding and doing the Lord's will. Understanding and doing the Lord's will. Again, Ephesians 5, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you see what that's saying? It's saying that the will of the Lord, the will of the Lord Jesus, is not foolishness, it is wisdom. Now, where do we find the wisdom of God? Where do we find this wisdom from Jesus? By watching Netflix? Not really. By reading a magazine? Probably not. We go to the Scriptures. We understand what the Scriptures teach. And not just understand mentally, but we act on what we understand. It is not enough to say, oh, I understand that, I'm just not going to do it. That's not what the will of the Lord is, right? What Jesus calls us to is to take up our cross daily, to deny ourselves, follow Him. I know that's not a popular message. It's not a feel-good message. Take up a cross. Take up an instrument of execution. Yay for us as Christians. But that's the call of Jesus, the one who died for us, the one who rose from the dead for us, the one who has promised us everything. He's also the one that says, take up the cross, follow me. That's where you'll find real life. That's where you'll find real wisdom. So we don't just understand the Lord's will, we're also to do it. Now, so what's one way you can do this? Well, you can practice reading the Scriptures daily. You can listen to the Scriptures. That's one of the things that I do. I have this app called Dwell, and every day I put it on and I just listen for, you know, maybe 10, 15 minutes just to Scripture so that it invades my mind and hopefully starts to make some coherence in that jumbled mess that's up there, something that would please Jesus. You can read through the Proverbs. You know, we're talking about wisdom. You know, how often do we check out what the Proverbs say and say, okay, what is wisdom? What does wisdom look like? How do I get it? What is wise living? The Proverbs are there for that reason. The book of James is similar. If you want to start somewhere to grow in wisdom, those are two great places. But whatever we do, we need to recognize that we need to understand the will of the Lord and we need to do it. And in order to do that, we need to know what the will of the Lord is by reading and studying Scripture. Let me close by telling you a little story. So a while back, Don and I went to this athletic shoe store. And you guys know I'm not much of an athlete, but Donna is. She loves to run, and so every once in a while she goes out and buys these really nice running shoes. And so I just thought the process was you go into the store, you find some shoes that fit and that you like the way they look, and that's it. And I got a whole education because the guy actually said, okay, I want you to walk for me. And I thought, this is the strangest thing. Why do you want to watch how she's walking? Are you like flirting with my wife? Come on now. And so anyway, he like said, so she walks and he like watches her and he says, okay, do it again. And he watches her and he says, okay, based on your gait, based on the way you're walking, I think that you need this kind of shoe to help you so that you'll get the best out of your running. You see, there was something about the way she walked that he could recognize and see something about who she was and how she does things. What is the way we walk, spiritually speaking, the way we live, telling other people about ourselves? when I'm living my life, when I'm walking, what are people recognizing in me? Are they seeing Jesus? Are they seeing wisdom? Or are they seeing foolishness? Are they seeing that I'm willing to examine myself and even say, you know, I was wrong there? Or are they seeing pride and arrogance, excessive self-reliance? Will they see that I'm making good use of my time, or am I just kind of whittling it away? Will they see that I understand that I live in a fallen world and I'm at war and I'm on Team Jesus? Will they see and understand that I know what the will of the Lord is and I want to act on it? I want to live for Jesus. Will they see that? Or will they see something else? Those are good questions for us to ask. And if we want to grow in wisdom, those are good questions we need to ask. So, by the power of the Spirit, church, let's live out. Let's live out the true wisdom of Jesus in every area of our lives. And the only way we're going to do that is by going to Him first. So let's even do that now. Let's pray. Jesus, You are our wisdom. Wisdom comes from You because in You is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and we need Your wisdom. We need You to correct us when we're wrong. We need You to show us the right way to live. We need so many things from You. So by the power of Your Spirit, will You give us wisdom and help us to live out that wisdom in practical ways, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand together and sing our last song, Be Thou My Vision. Let's recognize that in this song we're asking God to be our wisdom, which He already is, but let's make that a reality as we sing.
Lord of my heart.
May our Father in heaven grant you great wisdom in the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit. Amen. The deacons are going to come forward and they're going to lead you guys out. Feel free to fellowship outside, please.